I'm not going to be long today. I'm not. But sometimes I see things happening in the church as a whole, and I feel like I should address certain things and just certain principles and in the church at large. And the church is something that's been happening for many, many years that can sometimes cause some confusion with people in the body of Christ. And I also want to apply it to our own lives as well. And I'll say this, sometimes I have messages where I wish everyone who goes to our church was here for it. And so I might even do it again. And even as I was going through some of this, I felt a real conviction. I mean, I often feel the mood of the Lord as He puts something on my heart for what it is. And I just want to share a few things with you. And you don't have to turn to this one. I do want you to turn to Judges in a minute. But it's in Romans, and I've been doing Romans, and the best verse for it's in Romans. But it's Romans 11:29, and it says, "The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, or without repentance." And to give context, and let me say this. This is just a great principle. I say this all the time. Someone sent me a text one time, and I said, I had a small group, and I had this verse, and the Lord really put some things on my heart about this verse, and I shared it. So I may have taken out of context or whatever, just what the Lord put in my heart, and people were looking at me funny, and I said, "You always, I believe this. You give context to Scripture. What's the original context? But the Word of God is living and active." And so sometimes, I'll say this for this verse, 11:29, this is not my immediate thing I'm going to talk about, but it's the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Immediate context of that is this, and it's verse 25. I'm going to share how it's, because it speaks to the nation of Israel, but it also can speak to us individually. In verse 25 it says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved." And so, but at the same time as he's speaking about Israel and the salvation of the nation of Israel, that's not necessarily my point this morning. I love the passage. "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work." And so, just the initial context, Paul's saying, even though the nation of Israel has strayed, my heart's for them that all Israel will be saved. The gifts of calling of God are irrevocable without repentance. And I believe that the same can happen as in a national state as also as an individual state. The gifts of calling of God are irrevocable. And I want to share a few things about that. I'm not going to talk about necessarily the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to briefly go over it. Let me just read. There's 22 in the Scriptures. Just listen to me. It's going to be apostle. I've gone over the fivefold ministry, apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. There's also prophecy. Just because God uses you in prophecy doesn't mean you sit in the office of a prophet, okay? Teaching, same for that. Just because the Lord can use you to teach doesn't mean you sit in the office of a teacher. There's different things. We should really have a class on these things sometimes. I assume nothing. Sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. Amen? Wisdom, knowledge, miracles, faith, healing, discerning of spirits, message in tongues, interpretation of tongues, helps, service, administration. Administration's a gift. My wife has it, and a few others do. My wife and Liz Theodore, who's at work right now, if it wasn't for that gift, a lot of things here would just be complete disarray because I don't have that at all. And so that's just something. That's an overlooked thing because it's not an upfront gift. But if God uses you in administration, that's a spiritual gift, just as prophecy is a spiritual gift. Yeah. It is, okay? And you honor it as such. Helps, service, encouragement. My dad's an encourager, I'll just say that. Everyone my dad meets, he encourages. He just has that gift. Giving, some of the best gifts. We had a guy, I've shared this often when I was in Bible school. His two things, he was an intercessor and he was a giver. And he would, he said, "I pray," he's just a multi-millionaire, write $50,000, $20,000 checks like the candy to the school. And he would just do that as his gift, teaching, or not teaching, but giving. Amen? Leadership, mercy, and celibacy. Let me say this. Stir up the gift of God within you. This is not the heart of my message, but I do want to add this first and foremost. The parable of the talents. Okay? The one who even had a few, he didn't use it. And the Lord said, take it and give it to the one who has. Sometimes there's let me say this, just as a sidebar, because this might be for someone. I remember when I was in preaching class at the Bible school, with the preaching teacher, Tom Worth, he made a statement. He said, if you have any gift or anything that God's given you, and you never use it, it's just going to sit on the shelf, and it's never going to be used. And eventually someone else, and here's the overall thing, you're not going to lose that gift, but someone else is going to take your mantle and your place where God's called you to be. Okay? I knew the Lord had called me to pastoral ministry. Like I say, if you're not called to anything speaking, then don't do it, because there's lots of ministry outside of a pulpit. But if I had never taken a step to, if you'd asked me 15 years ago to speak in front of anybody, I would have died 1,000 deaths. Never gotten in front of anyone, never died. I would be petrified. Okay? It doesn't bother me anymore. Because when I begin to walk in something the Lord's put on my heart, if I just said, I can't, too afraid. I would still have that, but I wouldn't be using it. And the Lord said, okay, you're not, so someone else is. And I was remembering God uses sports analogies with me. And when I was in high school player, we had a guy on our team. His name was Maurice, and he was a fantastic talent. Unbelievable. Could jump out of the gym, did some of the most amazing dunks. He could have played college basketball. He was really, really, really good. But he had a lot of problems in his life. You know, grew up in a rough part of town, a lot of issues, a lot of different things. And so his senior year, the problems led to this. He didn't get to play. Okay? He was on the shelf. That talent and that gift he had was still there. He would come out and see him at a game. Hey, Maurice, man, we should be, you know. He could still play better than anyone on the court. But he was on the bench. He was in the stands watching. And you look at someone with 12 spots on that roster, someone who wouldn't have been there was there because Maurice wasn't. Amen? Maurice still had his gift. I'm making a biblical scriptural application of this. His gift is still there, but he didn't use it, and someone else came and took it. Amen? He didn't lose it, but someone else took his place. So anything the Lord's given you, I'll just say this, just activate it and use it. Apply it. You know, go anywhere and do it, but just utilize it. If you have something, I've said this often, something is like, you know, I could be doing this here at this church. I've applied to a church. Come see me. You know, we'll let you do it. And you always do it because a gift, it starts off over time as fruit develops, becomes a ministry. Amen? But it has to start somewhere. I can't start at level 10 if I never took a step to level 1, okay? But the parable of the gifts, and what I want to say, and what I was thinking about, and I don't know how much of church current events you follow, and if you don't, that's probably for the best. But sometimes it can confuse the body of Christ when you see someone with a tremendous gift that's life doesn't, and his or her life doesn't really line up with what you would think. A gift is something we receive, right?
Yes.
And sometimes we see people operating in great gifts, and then we find out things about their life later, and we're thinking, that doesn't add up. There's a case right now in the body of Christ like that. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. But there's someone has a great gift. God was using them in this. The things are being dealt with and looking at. But sometimes that shouldn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And I want to take a look. Turn with me to Judges chapter 16. I want to give you a scriptural example. Share a little bit about this, and then I just want to talk to us for a little bit about our own lives. But Judges chapter 16. Owen has a book at home, and it's about, what's the name of his book? The Man's Book, or The Boys, Everything You Know About Boys, or something. And so one of the coolest guys to me in the Bible, Samson. He was so strong, and you know, he went out with a bang. You know, he's just one of these cool guys, but his life didn't always. He had trouble. He could tame a lion, but he couldn't tame his lust. And I didn't realize that. So I want to point out, the first place you see Samson say something in Scripture, he says, I saw a woman. And that was really his downfall, right? Okay? And you look in chapter 16, it says this. Then Samson went to Gaza And when he saw a harlot there, he went into her. Stop right there. So the judge and leader of Israel goes into the enemy territory, and they find him there with a prostitute. Okay? When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him. And Samson laid low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them out to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now, someone pointed this out, and I was listening to a minister, and I'd never quite seen it before this way. It's very troubling that you would find the leader of Israel in bed with the prostitute, whether it's from his hometown or, made it worse, from the enemy territory, right? One of the things that's most confusing is after that, he's still operating in a supernatural gift, right? And sometimes we see that. It's like, man, that doesn't add up. After a major moral failure, he was still used in his supernatural gift. And sometimes that can be deceiving for us for a couple different reasons. When I look at someone else's life, and even when I look at my own life, because I want to look at us in a little bit, and I just believe it's going to be from the Lord. I was thinking, I have a book at home, it's called God's Generals. I don't know if you ever read it or not, but it talks about great men and women of the faith and how they were used of God. And it says, God's Generals, why some succeed and how some fail. And one great man of God who was used a lot in healing and there's a lot of controversy surrounding his death, but they believe he was died, you know, very drunk. And there's some things about that, I don't know. There's a man, William Branham, I'll say his name, because he, if you ever watch William Branham on pull him up on YouTube, the sharpest, and I've heard people say this, unbelievable word of knowledge, the way he operated his gift was unbelievable. Yeah, he started moving in the office, trying to be a teacher when he wasn't, and his teachings went absolutely crazy. And some of the old timers believe that he died in a car. The stories when he died that he and his wife were in a car wreck. I believe this is him. And his wife was dead. He said, he was laying there. He said, put my hand on my wife. Put his hand, and his wife came to life, and he died. And they believe, you know, the Lord took him to really keep him from just falling into complete apostasy. So he could have horrible teaching, and the gift still works. My wife, and I'll say this, was involved with doing some administration work and collecting letters, I remember, from someone who was used mightily in God. Okay, I have a couple of his books at home, or at least one of them, used in my life, actually. But had some horrible, horrible moral failings in his life. And my wife read some of the letters, and she said, I just can't even repeat them because some of this stuff is so bad. And sometimes we see that in the body of Christ, and it can bring disillusionment, and it can bring confusion. And there's even people, if you see certain revivals where the minister will just end up falling into sin, and people who were there in that revival say, you know, I don't want anything to do with God anymore. Amen? Because I'm just done with it. And it can bring such a disorientation, like I felt this. I want to give some clarity to some of those things this morning. And I want to bring it to us because I don't want to just make it all about someone else. But there's a passage, and we know this in Matthew 7. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out a demon in your name, or done many wonders in your name? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, never knew them intimately. What is he speaking of? Someone who has a gift, and who operates in a gift, and the Lord says, I never knew you. Apart from me, you weren't intimate to me. You might have been used in prophecy, you might have been used in this, okay? And so, there's a couple of passages. Paul gave one of the greatest, but just listen to as I read this. Paul says this when he went to Corinth. He said, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember, I talked about that last week. The centrality of Jesus Christ. I went through and uploaded all the way back to August sermons on our website last night because I haven't done it. And I titled mine from last week, The Centrality of Jesus. He has to be in the center of everything. And Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he's saying, yeah, I didn't come and I didn't, because Paul was a brilliant man. They said Paul probably had a PhD in theology if they gave those out then. Brilliant man. He said, I didn't woo you with how smart I was, with all the doctrine that I know. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? I always say this to people. It's good to have like a favorite preacher or things like that. I have guys I like more than others. But just be careful we don't idolize our favorite preachers. Amen. And I've been around someone before, and I remember being in their presence, and I was actually embarrassed at the way they were treating their wife. And I remember thinking, I wonder how. It just doesn't make sense. And sometimes if we put people in the body of Christ on such a pedestal, because they have a gift, I'm going to talk more about this in a minute, I end up placing my faith, as Paul said, in someone else rather than in Christ. Because everyone, let me give you two more passages real quick. In Hebrews 2:4 says, God also bearing witness, it's about salvation, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Spirit according to his own will. God was bearing witness of his salvation through these things. In Luke 16:20 it says, the disciples went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The Lord can use ministry gifts, whether that's I can prophesy the paint off the walls for 5 hours, or administration. He does it not to necessarily promote the messenger as opposed to the message. And that's very, very important for people in the body of Christ to understand, because I don't want anyone, as my pastoral heart, to say, oh, I saw this guy, because he's kind of high profile right now, and the church is dealing with it. It's a good thing that's happening, and a lot of clarity will come out with saying, man, I liked that guy. I liked his ministry. God was doing this. This stuff just must not be. And sometimes God, just like my buddy Maurice, who can still necessarily has the great gift to play basketball, but his life doesn't necessarily line up, eventually the Lord's going to put him on the shelf. And there is a passage in Numbers. Let me say this. I think it's Numbers 32. Your sin will find you out. The Lord often, if you have something in your life, the Lord often will come to you privately first. Okay? He comes to you privately, and he comes to you... let me go into this, actually, before I lead to that. That can happen to us as well. I can often look at someone on the platform, and it's easy to say, this guy did this. And sometimes I don't turn it on myself, and we don't turn it on ourselves. God could give you a certain gift that you could use and operate in. And let's say it's, just an example, no one here does, so no one think I'm talking about them. Let's just say I don't know, I'm not thinking of anyone here, but just say you're a tremendous prophet. And you can just prophesy, and you're just clear as crystal, and you know. And your life can still be a mess. There could be something going on within you. But if you go to a church service and I gave that guy a word and I could feel the Lord, he was with me, I'm okay. Right? What's happening? The gift is there. God might be using the gift in that person's life, and I can deceive myself and thinking everything's hunky-dory with me because I can use a gift. And that happens oftentimes as well. Okay? I had heard a minister of a sermon on my iPod from somewhere, and he went to this great church somewhere. He said to them, he said, this is an easy place to backslide. And we often don't think that way. But he said, this church is an easy place to backslide. He said, you guys don't have a bad service. He said, you can come out here and pick up on the corporate anointing of everyone, everything going on, and think, hey, I'm okay. And go home and everything's a mess, right? And sometimes it's very, I'll say this, I have, let me say, if you're struggling with something, find someone to go to. You're welcome to come to me. You're not going to share anything I haven't heard before, trust me. You're not going to surprise me. But find someone else, even if it's not like a major sin issue. You might not be doing what these guys that I've read about were doing or whatever. You may not be like Samson, you know, with the harlot at midnight. It might not be, but it might be something else in your life. Because God, before he does anything, he's going to look at you more than your gift. He's going to deal with you and look at you as a son and daughter of God. Let me read another passage real quick. Hang on. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this was Paul saying this, okay? He wrote this, and we all know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And he goes on, and he talks about love and the different things. The main thing in life, I was listening to, I learned a lot of things about leadership from coaches, actually. Sport coach, like I said, I like sports. So I was listening to Bill Belichick. You don't have Boyd and Sandy here this week, to all the other people, or Tony. I was listening to Bill Belichick just to pick up on his wisdom on leadership. And because you can learn from anyone, okay, mm-hmm. Principles. And he was talking, and it's true. He said, sometimes the people who do things the best in life are those who do the basics well. I mean, do the basics well. And you look at John, the Revelator, Revelations. John's main message during 1 John chapter 4 was love.
Yes.
He was a disciple who the Lord loved. Laid his head on his breast. Because he had the main thing was the main thing. And the Lord could trust him with all these other revelations and continue. John lived, I think, the longest out of all the disciples and apostles. But he kept the basics and he kept the main thing, the main thing. And sometimes when the Lord gives us any kind of gift, I can forget that. I've learned in my life, I'm not very impressed by people with their gifts so much. I look at the fruit of their life.
Yes.
Their personal life and the fruit of their ministry. I'm talking more about fruit in a little bit. But when you're dealing with things like that, I have someone in my life who's been a godsend to me. And I just spoke to him this week. And it was not about a sin issue. It was just, I go to him about my own personal walk with the Lord. And one thing I found, you know, my gifting or my grace the Lord's given me is pastor teacher, okay? And so, usually when I go to people, they want to tell me, do this to make this better. Do this to make this grow. Start doing this. Start doing that. One thing this guy does, and I want to challenge you in your own life, instead of telling me, you know, and if I ask him a specific question, he'll give me an answer to it, but instead of saying, oh, Clay, you better do this, this, this. How are you doing as a son of God? How are you doing as a child of God?
Yes.
How are you at in here? Because I could be doing everything right and doing nothing right at the same time. If my life in here is a mess. And so if I base my spiritual walk and gifts, and I'm not eagerly desire the best gifts. Don't hear me what I'm speaking wrong. Pursue the gifts. You should be moving in them. He gives to each severally as he will. I mean, that's at least three we should be operating in. Okay? But if that's how I'm evaluated, if that's how I evaluate my life, maybe I'll go home and treat my wife like dirt. Or I would go home and do this or that. And I could come up here and you think, oh, because Clay, you're doing this right. You're doing this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the basics are falling apart on me. I forget to love the Lord God with all my heart so much. I think everything's okay with me because when I get up to minister, there's a minister one time, he was saying how he disobeyed the Lord in an area. He was saying the Lord was mad at me. He said, I felt no presence of God, no nothing. And I had to preach. And I said, oh, there's nothing. He says, as soon as I got to the pulpit, I felt such an anointing, such a grace. The Lord just flowed through me. As soon as I stepped off, he said, I was the loneliest man in the world. He had to go through repent. And the Lord gives you time to repent. Even the revelation, he says, he gave Jezebel time to repent. And she did not. The Lord's heart's always for restoration. But guard your heart with all diligence for outflow the issues of life. What is your life like as a son, as a daughter of God? How are you loving? There's another thing you say, well, it's gifts or character, right? And I always like the golden, I like the tabernacle of Moses, the golden candlesticks. There's nine on one side, nine on the other. Nine fruits and nine gifts. And there's the center part. Christ is the middle. We should have gifts and fruit working in our life, right? And there's some people say, we don't, you know, we see abuses in gifts, and so we don't want that, we just want character. Let me say this, I don't want someone with all character and no anointing.
No.
At the same time, I don't want someone with all anointing and gifting and no character. character. I think there's a better way. It's fruit. Evaluate on fruit. Is there fruit among the fruit of the Spirit? Take your own temperature, Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Go through, am I growing in those areas or am I not? You know, am I growing in love? Am I growing in patience or am I growing in frustration? How am I growing? Take your own temperatures. Is there fruit in your life? Is something happening? Because let me read you another passage that you guys know. Abide in me. This is in John 15. Let me start from the beginning. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm in verse 1. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. And by the way, if the Lord's pruning you, that means you're bearing fruit, and that's a good thing, and you welcome that. Amen? They should bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. First blessing that the Lord gave is to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Amen? That's why abortion is such a national sin. Because it violates the very first blessing that the Lord gave of being fruitful and multiplying. But you be fruitful and multiply. And I was thinking some about fruit. I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm going to be done with this. Look for fruit. Paul said this, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'll ask you, can you tell someone in your life, maybe it's a baby Christian, someone that's new, can you say, you know what, you should be seeing the life and nature of Christ in me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Would you want someone to model your behavior with your spouse at home? Or your behavior with your work, with your employer, your boss? Or your behavior in your relationships? Would you want someone to follow your devotional life? Would you want someone to follow your life of what you're doing when you're in secret and no one sees you, you and God? Would you want someone to say, you know what, I'm going to let you, if you want to be, you, this person wants to be discipled, I'm going to let you have a camera view into my life for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Could you say, follow me as I follow Christ? Take your own temperature. Okay? Is there fruit in your personal life? Okay? And then there's also John the Baptist. I love this. He had the disciples who said, follow the Lord. He said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And it says they left him and they followed Jesus. In your ministry, in your gift, can someone look at your gift and say, oh, man, you're... Because sometimes we can move and operate in gifts to impress people. Right? I'm just being real with you. No matter what it is, you know, you can go to a prayer thing like I went to Friday night and be, well, I'm going to pray better than anyone in here, you know. Are you really praying? I shared this before, so I have the Lord's Prayer. And I forget the man who was in England, but someone said to him, he said he prayed the best prayer to the people in that town anyone's ever prayed in their life. His prayer that he was praying, I'm just praying to you and not to the Lord. Okay, we can do that in our own lives where I draw attention to myself. And sometimes that's a downfall of a public platform minister. Because you begin to think, wow, my gift's working. I can still do this. And come back up here, my gift still works. And they tell me how great I am, right? Pray for people. Anyone in leadership, pray for them. Amen. And pray that, and I'm going back to this. If there's an issue in your life or something, deal with it privately so the Lord doesn't expose it publicly. Because the Lord will expose it publicly. Remember even Paul, when he was doing discipline in the Corinthian church, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his spirit may be saved. It's always ultimately for a day. So if God publicly deals with you about something, it's really for your own good. Let me share this quick story, because this might apply to someone in here. I need to park here for just a minute, then I'm going to close. Guy was sharing a story one time. He was a member of a church, and he said, I went to get gas on the way home from work one day. And he said, lo and behold, my pastor was in there, and my pastor was looking at a pornographic movie, and I saw my pastor, and I said, hey, Pastor so-and-so. And, oh, hey, were you coming to church tonight? And it kind of played it. And so the guy drove home, and he said, you know, I was just thinking, and Lord, what should I do? Lord said, right now you just pray for him. Right now you just pray for him. I think it was about a week later. He said, the pastor pulled my side and said, come here. I know what you saw me doing. I made confession to my wife, and I'm going to announce it to the church. He just asked for repentance. He said, the pastor got up and announced it to the church. I'm struggling with this. He said, 20 years later, he's still doing it because he repented. David was a man after God's own heart, did some nasty, miserable things, but he knew how to repent. If you're dealing with something, go to the Lord. There's another man I've shared about. He said he was an elder in church, and he was dealing with pornography. And he had it. It was a private thing. Someone at his work had sent him something. He'd been delivered from it years ago. And men make a covenant with your eyes, because he'd been dealing with it years ago. Someone at work sent him something, and he just fell into a mess. He was saying, I just really slipped. He was a great teacher, and he really slipped. And was going down and didn't say anything, didn't do anything. So guess what happened? His wife found out. He was going through something. And did. And so he actually did the same thing. My heart is saying this because I believe, park in here, because this is for someone. It may not be on this issue. But if you're wrestling, if you're dealing with a sin issue in your life specifically, go to God. Find someone to go to. Confess your trespasses to one another. Not that someone can forgive you, but hey, brother, let's pray about it together. Let's be accountable together. Let's go to God together, because you need that in your life. Amen? The Lord will deal with that. And do not be deceived in thinking, I'm still getting this great revelation out of the Bible. I must be okay, or I can get away with this. I'm doing that, and God's still using me. I'm okay. The gifts and the calling, it may be without repentance, that gift still may be there. But I can tell you, just like my buddy, God's going to put you up in the sand at one point to watch. He's going to deal with your heart. And I'd rather just do it while you're still on the team and let the Lord deal with you, put you on the bench for a little bit. The Lord always says, heart's for restoration. Amen? Yes. But I look for fruit. I look for fruit. And it develops over time. And I want to say this. Evaluate your own life based on fruit. In your personal life, am I growing in the gifts of the Spirit? Is my ministry growing? Is my gift growing? Do I put it on the shelf? Am I using it? If I'm using it, is it pointing people to Jesus, or is it pointing people to myself? And I was thinking of fruit. This is my last thing. Some of the best fruit you can have is organic, right? Organic, smaller. And sometimes don't always evaluate things by the size of what you're doing. Because I hear people sometimes, like, it wasn't this much, so it wasn't anything. Fruit is nutritious, right? When I was an unhealthy eater for a long time, I could get away with it, so I was an unhealthy eater. I mean, that's a good picture for this. And I remember when I met my wife, and she told me, start eating fruit. And I didn't like fruit. And I remember, she always tells this story, and I remember one day we met, and for breakfast I had an orange. Felt so good, because my body wasn't used to good, healthy fruit. Fruit is what's being produced in your life, at home, in your relationships. Is it healthy? Would you want someone else to be a part of it as well? Would you want someone else to partake of it? Would you want someone to say, I want you to see what a godly family is like, come to our house? Is there fruit there? Is it nutritious for someone? And is your ministry, is your gift, is it something, say you're a giver, give a lot of money, is it someone say, you know what, my giving's for the glory of God, I've learned how to give cheerfully, I've learned how to do this, I've learned to see God in what I do, come watch me, and you're going to be enriched and flourish as you do it, amen? And so always, 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 it's easy to look at the guys up on the pulpit and point our finger at the high profile guys, I'm guilty, I've done it myself. But my heart's changed to say, I'm going to pray for those guys. And I'm going to turn it on us too. Because someone might have a ministry that can minister to countless thousands of people. You might have a ministry that ministers to people in your neighborhood. It's just as vital. But it's just important that I recognize if God's using you to it's still important that I take care of myself first and foremost before I am a, you know, prophet to my neighborhood. I'm a son of God.
Yes.
You know, before I'm a pastor, teacher of this church, I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
And I have to guard my heart. And you'll get a better pastor teacher if my walk with Him, I'm guarding my heart, and He is my priority. And if I just come up here and I teach the greatest thing in the world, and I go home and treat my wife like that guy I said that made me, that was an eye-opener for me. I thought the guy was going to be walking on clouds, and he wasn't. Separate the gift from the man and say, you know what, I want my life to be fruitful. I want gifts, yes, pursue gifts. I also want fruit, character, and I want to be fruitful in everything I do. Someone could watch everything I do, follow me as I follow Christ, and say, you know what? That's what a fruitful follower of Jesus looks like. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I thank You that You've spoken to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray.